Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 5? Now, to our guests, let me just tell you, don't judge the church based on what this old wore-out man has to say tonight and how my delivery is. Come back and hear this good pastor. I promise you, you'll be blessed. I mean that he is, without question, one of my favorite preachers. And you will be abundantly blessed if you'll come back and hear him preach. And so don't judge this church based on what you're getting tonight. It's been years. It's been years since I have preached two services in this church, a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. And I certainly didn't sing before each of them. Well, I take that back. I did. I led the singing. I did it all when I first got here. I did it all. And my sweet wife played the organ, and I led the singing, and I did it all. I don't have that kind of strength anymore. And but I'm going to do my best to deliver what I feel on my heart tonight. Now, I'm just going to tell you up front, you don't even know what I'm going to preach about, but to this church's credit, as much as they'd been through when I started preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. Sister Rebecca was Hilton then, Laban now, was here just a few weeks ago when I announced to the church that that was my plan. And she told me after service, she said, I don't remember the message. She was 7 years old at the time. She said, I don't remember the message. What I do remember is when the message was over, the Holy Ghost falling and people being laid out in the Spirit everywhere. God touched people, healed bodies, and performed miracles that night. She said, that I remember. And so the church rallied in spite of all they were going through. And I want to tell you that for 30 years, the congregation has changed. People have come and gone. But this church still rallies behind the preacher. And I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You understand why I wrestled to preach this? To a group of people that had just watched their pastor die, and the Lord impressed on me to preach about a woman getting her healing. But I preached then 30 years ago, and I want to try for just a few moments tonight. Again, I don't have the strength to do it, really the justice that it deserves, but I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight the faith formula. The faith formula. Would you put your Bibles down, lift your hands, lift your voices, ask the Lord to speak to us tonight and ask Him to give me strength and to help me to deliver the burden of my heart. Let's pray together, everyone. Oh, let's praise Him, everyone. Let's praise Him right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Now let me tell you, this message that I'm preaching to you tonight, I want to preach to you about faith. I want to preach to you about faith. I want to talk to you, and I want to tell you tonight that I believe the Holy Ghost can still do what He did 30 years ago. I believe we can still see people receive miracles before we leave this house tonight. Now, I know we got a baptism, and we got a reception. We got a lot of things going on tonight, But I'm just going to tell you, if we will be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit, you can get your miracle before we leave this house tonight. Now I've titled this the Faith Formula, and I think we need to talk for just a moment about how important a formula is. When you've got a formula to do something or create something, and an imbalance can make all the difference in the world. For example, and bear with me for just a moment, but if you take one part oxygen and mix it with two parts hydrogen, the result is H2O, which is water. Necessary for human life, we have to have that H2O, one part hydrogen and two parts oxygen. But if you take that same simple formula and add one part carbon, what you end up with is CH2O, which is formaldehyde. And I promise you, you don't want to try to drink that. One molecule makes it undrinkable and unhealthy. And then if you take out the hydrogen, the result is CO, which is carbon monoxide, and that, my friend, can kill you. But if you then double the oxygen, it becomes carbon dioxide, which is needed. I'm telling you, the formula makes all the difference. And can I just throw this in, by the way? This is why in a little while we're going to baptize in Jesus' name. We're not going to use a formula that was designed by another system and another group and another church. We're going to use what the Bible says. And everywhere in the scripture that anyone ever got baptized, they always said in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the right formula. And I want to tell you that as I look at the scripture, I really do see a formula in the scripture for seeing the miraculous. And can I tell you, the formula is going to work. Now, you don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to understand all the details. If you take the molecules I've described and put them in the portion I have told you, you're going to get the result that I've laid out, regardless of whether you understand it or not. The formula works. And I want to tell you tonight what the formula is for you to get the miracle that you need. Do you need a healing tonight? Does anybody need God to answer a prayer tonight? I'm here to preach to this church again after 30 years. There's a formula that works. And if we'll just follow the formula, I'm telling you, God will step in and do what His Word promises He will do. So stay with me for a few moments there. It's not a complicated formula. Doesn't take a whole lot of things. In fact, it only requires two ingredients. And in this case, the more you add of each, the greater the results become. Well, hallelujah. So let's begin with the first part of this formula, the first necessary ingredient. And I really kind of touched on this a little bit this morning, but let me just tell you, the first required ingredient is your dilemma. You gotta have a problem. You got to have a situation that needs an answer. We don't like it. We don't like to get into those kinds of circumstances, but I'm here to preach to this church tonight that if you've got a problem, you're on the road to a miracle. You want to see God do something, it's got to start with a problem. Hey, let me tell you, I read years ago that somebody said that when Jesus was a little boy, that he took some clay and he fashioned some pigeons and clapped his hands and the pigeons came to life and flew off. And they said that, you know, Jesus was doing these miracles as he was a little boy. I say nonsense. Nonsense. Not that he couldn't do it. He took clay and made a living soul out of it before. Sure, he could do it, but he didn't do it. You want to know how I know? Well, first of all, John chapter 2, verse 11 tells me this is after he has already turned 30 years old, after he has been baptized. Here's what John 2, 11 says.
This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Read that, those first few words again.
This beginning of miracles.
Jesus didn't perform a miracle until he turned the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. He wasn't going around turning little clay pigeons into real pigeons. But I want to tell you the second reason why I say it's nonsense. Because you show me one place anywhere in the scripture where Jesus ever performed a miracle when there was no need. I challenge you. You don't find him just showing up and just doing things and creating things. No. Every time he ever performed a miracle, it's because somebody had a problem. Somebody needed a miracle. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to tell somebody tonight, if you are here with a dilemma, that's the first part of the formula. That's what you need. You've got a promise tonight. If we can just get the other part in this formula, we're going to see a miracle.
I know.
I've watched it. 42 years that I've been a pastor, and I was in the ministry long, long before that. In fact, at this point in my life, it has now been more than 53 years since I preached my first sermon. So I've seen a lot in that more than half a century that I've been preaching. I've been preaching for more than half a century. I've seen a lot of things, and I want to tell you, it's easy for me to get up and preach faith and everybody start shouting. They like to hear about what God could do. They like to hear about the possibilities of God performing miracles and healing folks. They like that. But here's the problem. As soon as they get sick, as soon as disaster strikes, then all of a sudden, where'd the shout go? But listen to me, my friend. You got to have that disaster. You got to have. How's God going to perform a healing if nobody ever gets sick? How's God going to solve a problem if everybody's life is easy? I'm here to preach to somebody tonight. You don't even realize while you're sitting there moping around, feeling sorry for yourself. I want to tell you what's going on. God has planted your feet in the middle of a problem because he's trying to point you in the direction of a miracle. He's trying to help you to understand, I'm ready to take care of this on your behalf. So, the first ingredient is your dilemma. The second ingredient, very simply, is his divinity. Your dilemma without his divinity means devastation. And that's where some folks think they're headed every time a problem crops up. But I'm going to tell you, you're only headed there if his divinity is not a part of it. But your dilemma with his divinity means deliverance. Right. I'm telling you, once his divinity shows up on the scene, my friend, anything is possible. Once his divinity gets in the mix, there's no problem too hard for the God that I serve. There is no situation that God can't take care of. Somebody hear this preacher tonight. I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, there is a God that is more than able to reach into your situation and turn it all around. But see, as with any formula, it's not just going to mix itself. These ingredients aren't going to jump out of the test tube. Right. You got to add them. Yes. So what I'm telling you is, you got to invite his divinity into your dilemma if you want to see deliverance. It's up to you to cry out to him in faith. And you have to ask him, Lord, would you take care of this problem? Look, let me prove this to you. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Now, was there anybody that Jesus was closer to according to the flesh than his 12? Was there anybody that he spent more time with? Anybody that he cared more about? He knew these men were the ones that were going to carry on his work after his ascension into heaven. He knew it was going to rest in their hands to establish a church and to help the gospel to spread. He knew it was all hanging on them. One night, he sent them in a ship to go to the other side. The Bible seems to indicate, at least to me, that they really didn't want to do it. See, there were some experienced fishermen on board that boat. And I got a feeling they were looking at the skies, and they saw the storm clouds rolling in. And one of the worst things about it was this night, Jesus said, you go. I'm going up to the mountain to pray. Can you imagine? When that storm starts brewing and that ship starts rocking. And this is just me. I can't prove this. I just got a feeling that somebody, one of those apostles, looked at another one and said, what are we doing out here in weather like this? Whose idea was this anyway? Wasn't mine. I'm not the one who said, listen, who was it that sent us? It was Jesus that sent us into this storm. But here's what the Bible says, that he went to them walking on the waves of the sea. Now they're fighting it with everything they've got, but Jesus is not around. Brother Verity preached to us Thursday night about the time he was with them in the ship and he was asleep. That's not the case in this story. They're out here. He's not even anywhere to be found. and he's walking on the waves. But look at what Mark chapter 6 and verse 48 says.
And he saw them toiling,
toiling and rowing.
For the wind was contrary,
contrary to them.
And about the fourth watch of the night,
he cometh unto them walking upon the sea. But look at this.
Would have passed by them.
Do you see that? As much as he loved them, as much as he cared about them, he was just going to keep on walking. He wasn't going to stop until somebody cried out. I'm telling you, that's my message to you tonight. Yes, God's got the ability, but you're going to have to reach out in faith. You've got to invite his divinity into your dilemma if you want him to bring deliverance. You got to have enough faith and confidence that God wants to. I'm telling you, everything in him, I believe, wanted to stop by and help those boys in that time, but he wasn't going to do it until somebody cried out. That's what he's waiting on tonight. He's here. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to save you. He's here to help you. But he's just waiting on somebody to cry out. The choice is yours tonight. The choice is absolutely yours. You can walk out of this service with the same sickness you walked in with. You can walk out of this service with the same problems you brought in here. Or, while his divinity's here, and I have no doubt it's in this house tonight, while he's here, if you'll cry out to him, he'll do exactly what he did for them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, he is able to calm the storms. He is able to take you to the other side. He is able to get you through this situation. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. See, you, it's up to you. The responsibility is yours. The writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 2.
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them.
Uh-huh.
But the word preached did not profit them.
It didn't do them any good.
Not being mixed with faith.
Why?
In them that heard.
Do you understand what he said? He said they sat in the same Sunday night service we sat in. They heard the exact same sermon we heard. They sang the same songs we sang. And they walked out of there unfazed, untouched, unchanged. It didn't do them one bit of good. You want to know why? Because they never mixed it with faith. They were missing the catalyst that makes all of this come together and begin to work. When you take your dilemma and his divinity and you mix it with faith, I'm telling you, that's where you start to see results. That's where you start to get answers. That's where you start to experience healing. That is the faith formula. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's guaranteed to work. I absolutely guarantee it, because the word of God is true and God cannot lie. In fact, I want to show you just how effective this formula is. All right? Let's go back and look at the story that I read as my text. Now we're going to look, Luke also records this story, and he gives just one little detail here that I want to point out to you. That Matthew did not, or Mark, I mean, did not record in Mark chapter 5, but Luke does. And I think it's important for us and for what I'm trying to convey to you tonight. So Luke chapter 8, this is the same story of the woman with the issue of blood. She determined that if I can but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she fought her way through the crowd, and touched the hem of his garment. And here's what the Bible says, the book of Luke chapter 8. Here is what the Bible says, beginning with verse 45.
And Jesus said, "Who touched
me?" Who touched me?
When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master,
Master,
the multitude, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee.
And
sayest thou, now, who touched me?"
Now, do you get the picture? There's a crowd around him. And I mean, it's they're having close fellowship right now. People are bumping up against him, brushing up against him. He can't hardly move because they are, that's what thronging means. I mean, they've got him not just surrounded and there's a gap. I mean, they're right up against him. And that's why the disciples ask him, he said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Lord, wait a minute. Everyone's touching you." Well, yeah, everyone's touching me, but somebody touched me. There was something different about that touch. There was something unique about that touch. A lot of people touching him. Can I tell you, I think there were a lot of sick folks touching him. But one little woman touched him much differently than anybody else that was there that day. And Jesus said this. They said, why are you asking who touched me? And verse 46, Jesus said,
somebody hath touched me.
Listen to this, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. You ever notice that? He didn't say it's going. You know why Jesus stopped in his tracks? I want to tell you why. He didn't even have time to think about it. He didn't have time to weigh it out. There was so much power in the fact that this woman took her divinity and took her dilemma and brought it to his divinity and mixed it with faith. There was so much power that his divinity got ahead of his humanity. And before his humanity could even decide, am I going to heal her or not, it had already been pulled out of him. There was something about her faith. It was not a matter of, is this God's will? Does God want to do? No. She was determined. God's going to do this as soon as I touch him. And God didn't even stop to think about it. He didn't even stop to worry about it. It just was drawn out. I'm telling you, that'll happen to you tonight. I am here to declare to you that in that moment when your faith really touches him, listen to me, child of God, you can get your answer immediately. I know. I've for 30 years I've taught you always if you're gonna build a doctrine, you need at least two or three witnesses, right? So we got this witness. Jesus said, it's gone. It's gone. It's already gone. By the time that his humanity realized what happened, his divinity had already responded. And then it dawned on him. Hey, somebody just got healed. Somebody just got healed. Now, I submit to you, there's more than one example of this in the scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 24. This is the story of a Gentile woman who comes to the master because her daughter is demon possessed. And she meets up with the disciples and said, "Cast the devil out of my daughter." And they didn't even want to talk to her. And they tried to shoo her out of there. "Go on, woman, go. We don't have time for you. But she was determined. And so she went to Jesus. And she cried out to Jesus, "Lord, please deliver my daughter. And the Bible said he answered her not a word. He just, his humanity, he just ignored her and went on about his business as though she had never said anything. But she didn't give up. She went back again. And she began to worship him. And so he spoke again in his humanity. And here's what he said in Matthew 15, verses 24 to 28. Read.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of
Israel.
I'm
not here for you Gentiles. I'm here for the Jews. That's why I came. You've got no part in this. You've got no right to this. This doesn't belong to you.
Right.
That's what he said. I'm not sent for you. That's what he told her. Read.
Then came she and
but
worshiped him.
She came
him,
and worshiped him.
Saying, Lord, help me.
Lord, please help me. And so again he responds in his humanity.
But he answered and said.
He said.
It is not meet to take the children's bread.
It's just not right.
Cast it to dogs.
To take the food away from the children. Which obviously the meaning here is the Jews are the children.
Right.
And you, lady, are just a dog.
Right.
And it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now that's his response. But she would not let go.
Right.
Oh, we give up so easy. We walk away so easy. We feel defeated so easily. Are you hearing me tonight? We get prayer one time and we think, oh, well, God didn't do it. He's not going to do it. Not this woman. She had a dilemma and she knew the only answer was his divinity. She's not letting go. So she responds to him.
Truth. And she truth. Said, truth, Lord.
Truth, Lord.
Yet the dogs
but the
eat
dogs
the crumbs,
get the crumbs
that
fall from the master's table. I'm not asking you to give me the children's bread. I'm just saying there's some of that bread you know as well as I do. They don't even want. They're rejecting you. They're turning you aside. You got fresh baked bread and they're not even hungry. So, Lord, I'm just sitting here saying if they don't want it, don't take it away from them. But if they don't want it, pass it my way, Jesus. I don't deserve it, but I know you're able. I know you can do it, and I'll take it. And for all of the arguments that his humanity made, here's where the divinity shows up. Read.
Then Jesus answered and said unto her.
He said to her,
O woman,
great is
thy
faith.
Be it unto thee even
as thou wilt.
And her daughter was made whole from that
very hour. Are you hearing me tonight? She didn't deserve it, but it's not about who deserves what. There's just a formula. There's a formula, and it works, my friend. It's not about you. It's not about whether you're worthy. It's a formula, and it works. You can get your miracle right now. You can get your healing right now. You can get your deliverance right now. The formula works. I'm trying. I only got a few more verses. And I only got a little bit more strength, so I'm nearly done. Look at Luke chapter, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? We're talking about, I said to you that with this woman, the issue of blood, her faith pulled it out of the master. That formula just pulled it out of him before he could weigh out whether she's a child or a dog. His humanity didn't even know who touched him. But there was no debate in that situation. Her faith just pulled it out of him. And I'm here to tell you, I see that happening in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Listen to this.
And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples. And a great multitude of people out of all Judea,
Jerusalem. A great multitude of people from Jerusalem and Judea
and from the seacoast of Tyre and
Tyre
Sidon
and Sidon
came near to him.
They came to hear
be
him.
Healed of their diseases.
They came to be healed of their diseases.
And they that were vexed,
with unclean spirits,
and they were healed.
Now look at verse 19.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him.
Why?
For there went virtue. And healed
there
them
it went.
All.
You hear me? There was so much faith in that valley that day. There went virtue. He's not trying to decide who's getting their healing and who's not. He's not saying, this is my will, this is not my will. There was virtue just being pulled out of him. There went virtue out of him and what?
And
healed them all. Everybody there got what they needed from God. Everybody there got their miracle from God. It just came. I'm telling you, that same thing can take place right here in this service tonight. Everybody, everybody here. Everybody in the house can get their miracle tonight. I'm telling you, if we can just get that formula together, if we can just get the formula together tonight, if we can just get it right, I'm telling you, virtue will be pulled from heaven. It can sweep this crowd. It can start at one side and go across to the other. Everybody that's sick can be healed. Everybody that's in distress can be delivered. Everybody that's got a problem can find the solution tonight. God is able. Woo! The decision is yours. The choice is yours, Sister Tori Kama. If you want it, you can have it tonight. If you're here without the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you, quit letting the devil lie to you and say you can't get it. This formula works. You just need to mix it with faith. You put some faith in it, and God can fill you in just a few moments' time. I just want to read to you. This is Mark chapter 9, and you can just remain standing or whatever you want to do. I'm really coming to a close, but Mark chapter 9, beginning of verse number 17. Now let me just say this. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know the right words to say. I don't really know how to pray. It's not about the prayer. It's not about the words you say. I'm going to prove that to you. Read for me, Brother Hilton.
And one of the multitude answered and said, Master,
Master,
I have brought unto thee my son.
I brought my son.
That the dumb spirit.
I'll leave that one alone. I'll just leave it alone. My son's got a bad problem here. Read.
And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him.
This demon, it's abusing my boy.
And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth.
He foams.
Pineth away.
The mouth, he gnashes with his teeth. He's pining away. He's starving to death. He's wasting away to nothing because of this demonic control. And
I spake to thy disciples.
I went to your disciples. I've already been prayed for and it didn't work.
Cast him out, and they could not.
Yeah, it didn't work. I've already been prayed for and it didn't work.
He answereth him and saith,
Jesus answered and said,
O faithless generation,
yeah,
how long shall I be with you?
How long am I going to be here?
How long shall I suffer?
How long
you?
Do I have to put up with this?
Bring him unto me.
Bring him to me.
And they brought him unto him.
They brought the boy.
And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him.
And the spirit started acting up right then.
And he fell on the ground.
And the boy fell on the ground.
Foaming.
Wallowed. Foaming.
And he asked his father, how long is it ago?
That's interesting. Jesus doesn't jump back and he doesn't. He just kind of looks back and he said, how long has this been going on?
How long is it?
Now look, you can read that however you want to, but it almost sounds like to me, you mean this has been going on for a while and you're just now deciding to bring him? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. You don't think Jesus knew how long it had been going on? How long has this been happening? Read.
And he said, of a child.
He said, since this boy was just tiny, this has been going on. And you're just now bringing him? What took you so long? Now, you say, Jesus didn't say any of that. No. But I think that was part of the discussion because of the particular response the man gives. Now let's read on.
And oft times it hath cast him into the fire.
Cast him into the fire.
And into the water.
Into the water.
To destroy him.
Trying to kill him.
But if thou canst do anything.
But Lord, if you can do anything.
Have compassion on us.
Please have compassion on us.
And help us.
And help us. If you can do anything at all, please intervene. And Jesus said.
And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe.
It's not about if I can do it. Do you know the formula? Can you believe?
Yes.
Because if you can believe.
All things.
Are possible.
To him that believeth.
It's not about what I can do. It's about whether or not you can mix it with faith. Now, you've got the two necessary ingredients. You've got a dilemma and you've got my divinity. But you got to add the catalyst now. Can you mix it with faith? If you can mix it with faith, there's no limit as to what you can get. Read.
Straightway, the father of the child cried out.
He cried out.
And
he said with tears,
Lord, I believe.
I believe.
Help thou
help.
Mine unbelief.
Was this a beautiful prayer? No. Who said yeah? Brother Hall, you're wrong again. That's not a beautiful prayer. Well, Lord, I believe, but I got some unbelief too. That's not very beautiful. I mean, that sounds pretty pathetic to me. But the fact is, the man was being honest. And you know, in spite of not praying a very good prayer, do you know that Jesus cast the devil out and gave the man his answer? I'm telling you, church, it doesn't matter about your prayer and the quality of the words or the quantity of the words. There's one thing Jesus is looking for. And though the man said, I've got some unbelief, he did admit somewhere in the midst of this, there's also some faith. I do believe. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for mountains of faith. I'm just looking for a little bit. If it's just like a grain of mustard seed, I'm just looking for a little. That's all I'm looking for. And when I can find that little bit of faith, I'm telling you, that's all we need to set this thing ablaze and for you to see the answer that you need. Now listen to me, my friend. I want you to understand everything I preach tonight that happened in the Bible, it can happen tonight. You want to know why I say that? Because of Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He hasn't changed. That formula still works. It'll work for you tonight. Oh, let's talk to the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Thank you. Thank you for moving out in faith. Anybody else here tonight that feels some faith rising up? Is there anybody else that's ready to bring his divinity into your dilemma? Can you mix it with faith tonight? Can you mix it with faith tonight? I don't have to lay hands on you. I'm telling you, Jesus gave us the example when virtue just flowed from him.